What are you going to do to start the show off?
I don't know. Why?
I'm going to be like, because hey, I'm Chris, and this is...
I know you like it when I introduce dance. Everybody.
Yeah, I do. You gotta,
why?
And you should be like, hey, this is Dance Monkey why Dance Podcast. I'm Chris, and...
Why can't it just be people music. Talking?
Fireworks.
Why does there have to be a beginning? Why do we have to follow the standards?
Because there's got
to
be an end at some point, right?
Well, yeah, but you don't have to have a beginning.
But if there's an end...
Beginning, middle, and an end. That's the point of it all.
Eh, whatever.
Boo! I want to see some fireworks.
I think that
now.
Starts the show right there.
Dance Monkey Dance.
Welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. This is Chris, and John is not here this week, but I brought back three of your favorite people to come talk
to. So you
to
have
me.
Gotten emails about this.
Emails.
Well, no. Well, okay, so Brandon, Kristen, and Brooke are back.
Hello.
Because John is off on something we can't talk about.
Drug money in Brazil.
Okay, why is your mic not working?
Me?
Yeah.
Do they have drugs in Brazil?
No, that's better.
Sorry.
Okay. So,
where do they have drugs? Why would you do a drug
list? Everywhere, dude.
Isn't that show? What? No.
The one
I was
that we
Belize. It was Belize.
Oh, I was going to say Ozarks.
I don't believe you. Because there's drugs in Ozarks.
No, it was no, what the hell was it? It was the one with Steve Zahn. Mad Dogs. On okay. Amazon Prime.
I don't have Amazon Prime.
They went to Belize,
you should.
Well, I don't.
And all hell broke loose.
How do you not have Amazon Prime?
Because I don't.
Do you use Amazon?
Not a whole lot.
Are they a sponsor? Can we get them to be a sponsor?
He doesn't have sponsors.
We don't have sponsors.
We've been but over you, this.
Come on.
Don't be an amateur.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. So tell us about your Amazon Prime membership.
Okay, no. So before we start, I got a couple of emails last week about us not addressing the school shooting in Florida.
Oh, that's a great topic.
Because John lives in Florida, and for some reason everybody connects that. And the reason that we're not going to talk about it is because John and I know somebody who was personally affected, who
Jesus.
Lost a niece. And we're here to make people laugh. We're not here to... We joke about political stuff and stuff that goes on, and it just didn't seem like a joking type thing, especially when it's... when
that
you're
close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for all the people who wanted to know, that's why we didn't talk about it. That's why we talked about Arrow instead.
Let's talk about 9/11.
Conspiracy?
Conspiracy
of.
It was Kanye West.
Yes. So the other emails that I got last week was about Mad Monster. And since okay. since the three of you were there,
we tried to get you to hang out with us more.
Oh. So
you missed an amazing rave.
I think we saw him more than we thought we were going to, honestly.
Yeah, that is actually accurate.
So a couple of people felt that I was overselling the story of meeting Nick Castle last week. So since you three were there,
what, Tremors 4? Chris meets Nick Castle.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
There's a Tremors 4, though.
I know. So since you three were there, I would like you to tell the story. We haven't talked about this. You didn't know what I was going to bring up. Mm-hmm. But I would like to hear from you guys what you saw so that the people know that I was not lying or embellishing the story.
Okay, so we arrived on Friday evening.
At about 4 p.m.
Uh-huh. Well, so we
went to an excellent restaurant in Rock Hill.
Before that,
we ended up at Manifest Music in Columbia,
which is now owned by FYE.
Oh, yeah.
And okay. We got some awesome buy one, get two free CDs. Which those are still a thing.
I finally spent $4 on massive amounts of music. It was amazing.
Like 20 some odd CDs for like $8.
So, but then we get to Monster Party.
Yeah, but before that, no. I'm just
before that, we woke up at 6 a.m. in the morning.
yeah,
that is accurate. So we could take our time.
6 o'clock. Drove up there, and Chris joined us on Saturday.
I don't understand why they think he would be embellishing, though. I mean, he was just such a chill dude.
I know. They just, I guess they felt like I was selling it for more than what it was worth.
Like, talk to him and show him the pilot.
It's super awesome. I mean, especially your stories of going to bigger cons.
Right.
Like, people don't realize
that you could actually, that you walked up several times to him.
Yeah, the interaction is insane. It really is.
It's very intimate.
I
mean, you can just sit there and chat with whomever. I mean, now the only person that was pretty much
unobtainable would be
Robert England.
Right.
But he also, like, I don't know if you read everything online about what went down with that, but basically they're we were like, we'll just put it off till Sunday. And they're like, the line's filled up on Sunday.
Yeah. So because he took so much time.
Right. So the way that Mad Monster normally works is however long your line goes, you kind of try to move it a decent click. You spend 2 or 3 minutes per person, et cetera, maybe sign their stuff and off you go.
But that's not Robert's bag. He'll spend like 5 to 10, however long it takes, however long he feels like.
Right.
Sign multiple items for all of his fans, and he actually spends time with them.
And when I was walking the floor when you guys were at that one panel, like, I forgot to turn off the goddamn air conditioner. There were people in line that were bitching because it was taking so long.
Yeah, and like
it
was 5-6 hours. Yeah. Some people waited.
So if you were not in line and turned away on Saturday and had either your name or a band, you could not get in line on Sunday.
Wow.
Now, the only issue that I had with that is that people who came on specifically on Saturday, if you had a weekend pass, they gave you a pass to Sunday.
Okay.
So, which was fantastic as far as their experience goes, but as far as others who bought the full weekend experience, if I was going to say there was a minus to it outside of the actual venue itself, I would say that was the only minus. So, but again, for all those people who were there to do that one specific thing, you know, in that same time frame, though, we met the entire Nightmare on Elm Street cast, the entire Child's Play 2 cast, Nick Castle.
Aliens
2. Yeah, we met the entire Aliens.
Aliens
2.
Aliens 2.
Aliens 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
I meant movie. As well, guys. T-O-O.
Aliens 2. They're back and they're pissed off. Again.
But, yeah. I mean,
yes,
I
just, queen. That actually fits.
I want a shirt like that. Can someone please make me a shirt? This is Yas Queen with the alien.
With the alien.
Queen.
With the alien.
Please.
I'll see what I can do.
We can get it printed if you can design.
But I mean, yeah. I mean, we've met a lot of people that are big ticket people and previous experiences with Mad Monster. I mean,
George Romero.
Like, I mean, his line was a little bit long, but they had it down to a T. Like, he didn't personalize because it would take up more time, but we still got our pictures taken with him,
which is normally the antithesis of what people normally do. Normally, they're all about signing to Chris or to Brooke.
Right.
And I think with George, though, I think they did it just for time's sake and because he was up there in age, to be honest.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, they moved it a lot. It moved pretty quickly, and it wasn't that long of a time. But, I mean, it's George Romero.
Right.
So, I mean,
Malcolm McDowell was pretty much the same way.
Yeah, Malcolm McDowell was a little bit longer.
I mean, if I could have had, like, the Aliens cast or Nick Castle somehow customized, like, to me.
Yeah.
But there's nowhere on the stuff that I got signed.
Yeah, but your stuff is, like, super specific.
Niche, yeah.
And Chrissy was the same way. She had an Alien Queen cookie jar.
Right.
So you had the top of the cookie jar sign.
And then, like, the Chucky pillow.
Right. Yeah. And I just feel like they're looking at that, and they're looking at me, and they're like, oh, he's going to go sell that. It's like, no.
No. Well, nope. That's your personal collection. You're like, I made this.
So Lance Henderson, who's the lady? I'm bad with
Jeanette James. Goldstein.
Jeanette Goldstein and
Michael Biehn.
Vasquez and Bishop.
Yeah, who was a little inebriated.
He could not find the lobby.
Couldn't find the lobby.
Funny.
Yeah.
I was trying to find you. He was trying to find the lobby. And
he
was standing
in front of us and asked Kristen for directions where the lobby was. I saw him staring at me, and I was in front of the guide of where everything was.
So was he staring at you, or was he staring past you?
He was staring past me. Okay. I know he was.
Because you're like, hey,
I was trying to be like, hey, Brandon, he's right behind you.
He is shorter. He's much shorter.
I always expect shorter, but I don't expect like thinner, size? If that makes any sense.
Well, I mean, that was in 1986.
He was taller than me.
Well, even a few years ago, like I know it's like 10 years ago, but Grindhouse, he felt bigger in Grindhouse because I always expect. I think Jeff Fahey is like 6'4" or something like that.
Maybe
6'2", 6'4". Somebody Google that and email us
right now.
At dancemonkeydancepodcast@gmail.com.
Wrong.
Damn it.
Completely wrong.
So wrong, Brandon.
Don't email us there.
So, yeah, I mean, it was interesting. I'm used to not getting that kind of attention. Yeah. And to have...
From your friends or from the con?
From anybody.
Gotcha.
But to have somebody that I went specifically to meet, to uh-huh. have that time to be like... You know, like, I think that he thought I was just going to pull out the iPad that first time.
Right. Well, it took us, what, 8 minutes the first time? There were maybe five people in front of us
right.
to get to him. And then we got right. there. A couple people got signatures and in our party and got some pictures and everything. And that's when you first told him, you know, right. like, you know, I made this, or actually we made this, and I'd like to show it to you if we can come back at some point. And he said, absolutely. Like
two separate days, though, that yeah. we did those two events.
We did.
Because we did a lot of things in between. Because we made yeah. sure we got everything signed that morning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we made sure we showed the trailer that afternoon.
Because yeah. later when we got back, there was nobody at the table. I mean, so we took that as our opportunity.
It was like 6 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
That's
and it does, and it did feel like it was between 2 days. But yeah, yeah. only but there that there day. That
yeah. 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 The entire thing really was, it was like one of the, it wasn't one of the worst by any means, but it was one of the best. Except for the space, that stupid Marriott or Sheraton or whatever.
It's not very well set up.
I've been
to a ton of cons, and I've never seen.
Have you seen a tent before?
No.
Okay.
I've yeah. never seen a tent, and I've yeah. never seen it to where, when you have two rooms, normally one room is just the people signing stuff,
mm-hmm. and not vendors,
and not vendors, and the other room is just strictly vendors.
And they put it all around.
The way that the reason I like that.
Was the one in Uptown. That one you actually had a ballroom for the panels. Okay. And you had, was it two rooms for the people? I can't remember.
Pretty much all of them have been two
like,
ballrooms.
They do have to be do. Split between two, but they still mix vendors and
which
people.
I kind of like.
They normally do the celebrities around the perimeter, mm-hmm. and on the inside vendors. They put the vendors.
Right. But so. I mean, that was just weird because like most of the time, at any other con, even if you're in the same room as the vendors are on one side, and there's almost like a line that goes down the middle of yeah. like these are the people signing and these are the vendors, because you don't want people in line blocking vendors.
Gotcha.
And you don't want vendors blocking people's lines. So it was very weird the way that it all, because there was that one in the other room where the wrestlers were. Where there was like right down that path, there were all kinds of people selling stuff, and like you couldn't get to the tables to get your stuff signed.
Hmm. What is the thing about wrestlers and horror movies? What is the connection there? I just don't get it.
Well, I mean, some of them have been in horror films.
No, like yeah. Kane, See No Evil.
Kane was in See No Evil.
I mean, WWE has their films now, but I right. wonder what that initial connection was, because I mean, you see it and it's pretty normal, but then you get sci-fi and horror that overlap too, and I think that was the other thing with Nick. Is that he? I think he was excited that everybody in our group wanted Last Starfighter versus Halloween.
Right, yeah. And there was that guy in front of us who had a suitcase full of Michael Myers masks
that he was getting signed.
And I was like, dude, selling every single one. There's none of those that are going to go up on a shelf. And I feel bad because, like, yeah, he's getting paid per autograph, but at the same time, like, you're making money off of me. Yeah. If I was in that situation, and I'd just be like, you know what, I'm going to sign one thing.
Yeah, and some people do have limitations. They're like, you know, two items. Like,
really?
Dee Wallace? No, not Dee Wallace. Who? There were a couple of people last year that had limitations. No, that were like that. Only
I mean,
two.
There's like I've seen a couple of things like when they used to have Star Wars weekends at Disney.
Luckily, it's really inexpensive to go.
Yeah, Boba Fett.
But they don't charge you for autographs when they were doing those. Like you brought your stuff into the park. And they would just sign it because that was their deal.
That's cool.
Because they were getting paid a lot of money.
But Billy Dee Williams refused to sign anything Star Wars. And it was like, why are you here? What is the name of the event? Star Wars Weekends. Why are you not signing Star Wars stuff?
That's ridiculous.
And it was
really nice.
Well, Mad Monster, I can understand. It's a little bit different. I mean,
yeah, Mad Monster
this
was.
Thing, so. But he did limit his to two signatures.
Yeah, that's right.
Per person.
And I'm all for, like, if you're going to charge $40 per signature, that's fine because they're...
That's your prerogative.
That's your prerogative.
Yeah.
And yes, they can be making money off it. So I understand the whole signature thing. But, like, that dude had an entire suitcase. And it was like, ugh.
But then we came after him, and I think we honestly brightened his day because, like, his reaction to seeing this trailer, like, he was really into it. He's like, wait, you
second part of the day, yeah.
Yeah.
So you kind of hid behind a thing, literally creepily staring at Nick Castle.
I was very nervous.
He was very nervous. But
no one could
had
tell.
To open the door yeah. for him.
So I'm like, okay, I guess we got to do this. So.
Because honestly, I can talk myself out of anything. And I have literally talked myself out of buying stuff, out of meeting people, just from like why would they want to...
What's your biggest regret, as far as that goes? Not like in life.
I don't know. I'd have to really think about that. But as soon as there was no line and Brandon was like, let's go, I was like, no.
I was like, come can't. On, Chris.
Nope, not, well, Chris and I looked at each other.
Yeah. We're not going to not let you do this. We're
I was like, Brandon, well, let's get over here.
No is not an option with us, so we're going to push you over there.
So once the iPad got out,
well, I'm, I was, and like, I'm glad you did. And
because there's one that I regretted. I waited too long to do, and that was Danny Trejo. I waited until Sunday, and he was already gone after his panel.
That was 2 years ago, or
yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah. And I regretted that. I was like, because he was everywhere.
He was just the nicest guy. He was interacting with everybody. Oh, yeah.
He was buying people shots at the bar.
Yeah, I saw him at the bar, and I shook his hand. I was
just like
you're awesome.
This year's best person that we talked to was. Far and away. Now, yeah. Everybody was phenomenal this year. There was nobody who I'm like, Jesus, dude, stop being a dick.
Yeah.
Which there have been in the past.
Right.
Christina Lise from Child's Play 2. We talked to her literally 5 or 6 times.
And she was like blowing off all of her other people to sign things.
She actually was looking at people like, what do you want, a signature? We're talking here.
Exactly.
was that the one that we talked to briefly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
She was like, yeah.
We talked to her 4 or 5 other times.
I nerded out on her Friday night. Like, I nerded out on her and Alex Vincent from Andy from Child's Play.
Was that the one where you were like, hug me?
Yes. Okay. Oh, yeah. No, yes. No. I normally tell people, can I hug you?
I said, I'm going to hug you.
And then I hugged her. Because, like, I got excited because I talked to Alex at his booth, but she was talking to somebody else at the time. And right. So we were just going around, and then I stopped her. I don't even know if the poor woman was on her way to the restroom or something.
Probably she'd already get another drink.
I had already had a conversation with her. I was just because I recognized her, and I was like, blah, blah, you know, just something casual, just a flippant remark, like, do you need any help or something like that.
Right. For those that, like, I mean, those that are not familiar with the last two movies that came out, Curse of Chucky and Cult of Chucky, it just wraps the universe around those that have been fans of the show. A movie is just it's really exciting as a fan, and it made me more of a fan of it. And I'm not going to do any spoilers because you need to go watch it.
Less than 30 years old.
I just got really well. I meant like the last two. I mean, if you haven't seen the last two, it's just really exciting of what it does with the whole franchise. And so I got really excited, and it was just fresh off of rewatching it. And I was just like, oh my God, my brain exploded. So by the time I got to Nick Castle, I was a little more calm.
Right.
And I asked him about his visit in Charleston, and he was very, like, I think he was like a lot. It was just nicer for him to be like,
We told him, if you're ever in Charleston, give us a call. We'll take you to dinner. And then gave him no information in which he couldn't talk about.
He has Chris's information.
Yeah.
So the weird thing about that, and something that hasn't been talked about on the show yet, is...
Kristen put his penis on the table
and
said, sign this.
So
I didn't do that.
The last Starfighter.
What? Who's he? Which
Chris?
He?
Oh.
No, you said Kristen.
Put his penis.
Oh. Yes. That's exactly what you said.
And put it on the table.
Speaking of birth
and
control.
And said, sign this.
Or it sounded like Kristen had one,
Kristen's
too.
Crying game scenario definitely puts it...
Don't sign this gun. Sign this gun.
This is the gun. This is my rifle. This is my gun.
Wait, is this the gun?
Child's Play 3.
Yes, exactly.
See, we're bringing it back.
So,
sorry, go ahead.
So,
glad we don't get
one of the things that John and I talked about last week was that at some point he asked where he could see it, and Brandon said, hey, write it down.
Yeah.
Which I totally was not going to do because I was totally in the moment.
I politely said, yes, do you have anything to write it down with?
Yes.
So,
his assistant was just as interested too. I don't know if it was his assistant or like, I don't know if it could have been his
He's
son,
part of the event.
He
was provided by the event.
Was he? I thought he was with him. He was real chummy.
Normally they're not that chummy.
I think he brought him with him.
He's associated with Mad Monster because there's posts on Mad Monster. It's like, thank you to this guy because we love having him there every year.
Oh, okay.
And he could be associated with other Mad Monsters because they have him all over like Chicago.
I don't know. Like he knew what the gun was.
Yeah.
Like when I was standing in the line. But after that, I figured, after I took the information, I figured like He's going to put it in his pants pocket.
Yeah.
He's going to take it out the next day.
Thank God pocket. Made that.
Well, and say
he's going to put it in his pants.
Yeah, and be like, oh, whatever. Last and just throw it out. Like, yeah. Like I never expected anything. But when I checked the analytics on the last Starfighter video, on Sunday, the day after, it was watched 15 times in Southern California and about 8 times in New York.
Nice. And he did say that he was going to pass it along to the information along to the writer.
Right.
So.
Right, and I'm pretty sure he's in Southern California. So yeah. Just the fact that he kept his word,
yeah,
which he didn't have to.
Sure.
He could have just been like, okay, just, all right, yeah, whatever.
Like, but I think he really was, like, interacting and enjoying the trailer from what he could hear. He probably went and watched it again.
Right.
Because it was kind of loud, let's be honest. But
yeah, there was no audio. He just watched the visuals.
Right.
So. And that he's was like, enough
there
for
she
me.
Is.
That really was, like, enough for me of, like, just having him say it. Like see it and I know Brandon said I was creepily watching him, but
no, just for like a moment.
But what I ended up doing was I was watching where it was in the shot, and I knew that when the character walks down and says, well, that's subtle, it switches to the shot, the initial shot of the Gunstar sitting in the courtyard. And I knew that if he smiled there, I had him.
And he did.
So I immediately looked back up, and he started to smile, and I was like, all right.
That's what he said. He said, there she is.
And there she is, yeah.
Yep.
And said, he said, who made the ship? And, and you're like, I did.
Yep.
I get bored. Please come to my home. we can live together in our Nick Castle.
Yes.
Nick Castle. Wow.
So it was something else. It was an experience.
And you can give us your Nick Castle experiences. Which email to us at.
I would not have had if it wasn't for you guys. Because not only did you guys help me with that, but like you pushed me to actually show it to them. So
we got to do more of those. Can we do like one a month or something?
It probably takes longer than one a month.
That one took me 3 months.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then we'll do one every like month. Then so
one a quarter.
No. Well, we can do like one, and then we can like film everything that you need, and then work on one while you're working on,
that's
and then release
one,
and then like do several of them at a time, like Disney does. They have overlap
because you're Disney.
Oh God! Yeah. Mm-hmm. I run Pixar, don't you know?
Yeah, I know. That's your John.
From my house in Charleston, South Carolina.
John Larroquette. John Larroquette is now in charge of Pixar.
Wait,
he's
what?
He's got to do Night Court, the movie.
I would sit for an animated Night Court.
I would sit for anything with Harry Anderson, not Harry Dean Stanton, who's now passed away.
I would sit through anything with him before. Yeah.
There was a couple of shows growing up that were constantly on, like afternoon, like when I got home from school. It was MASH, Night Court, and Three's Company. So I've seen all of them multiple times.
I love
it. And Night Court holds a special place in my heart because of Harry Anderson.
Yeah, he lives in North Carolina now. Moved out of New Orleans. He's like,
now who's creepy?
Fuck this shithole. No, like things happen with like Hurricane Katrina came out
like a show
date. The lights. But yeah, no, he basically moved from that because he didn't like the way that the local government was taking care of it.
Okay,
so like screw it, so he moved to like near Charlotte or Asheville or someplace like that.
Yeah.
He owned a restaurant in New Orleans. I can't figure out what, because I was trying to figure out if there was a restaurant in North Carolina that we could go to. But
okay.
He hasn't opened.
Like he's working behind the bar?
No, well, I mean, he was in there a lot. He would do magic tricks and, you know, like Rocky and Rocky Balboa.
Wait, was he? There goes Brandon's microphone.
Brandon's microphone. Take a shot.
No, this is fine. No, you guys keep going. I can do this. I'm sure this isn't making any noise.
Nope. Sorry. Still falling.
I can hold it. I got it.
Okay, try that now. Let it go. Okay, we got it.
Until it falls again.
Until it
just
does.
Don't touch it. Don't go near
I'm
it.
I didn't touch it the first time.
50-50.
Okay. So is he like the balloon guy at like... Like one of those chain restaurants.
Did you watch Rocky Balboa?
Yeah.
Okay. He's
Rocky. I know. He's going around telling stories about being on the set of Night Court.
No, he's Wild actually
one
telling
me
stories
Richard
about
Maul. Like went behind the judge's bench and just banged all night long.
He actually tells stories about how he fought Apollo Creed.
Oh, okay.
Harry Anderson.
Okay.
Which, if you take that and then put a
bone
in there, you
went to Russia.
Two.
A Night Court themed restaurant, that'd be amazing.
Yeah,
That'd be amazing.
All the
order in the port.
Where's Marky Post, guys?
Marky Post. Wasn't she? She was in a show with, speaking of, John Ritter. Oh, Three's Company. Ritter. He's dead, too.
Marky Post was in that?
Marky Post was in Hearts of Fire?
Hearts of Fire, yeah.
Oh,
with Marky, he and Marky Post were together in that show.
Okay,
it was after their respective shows.
Oh,
but what was that one with Jamie Lee Curtis and Richard Lewis?
True Lies.
No, that's Jamie Lee Curtis and Richard Lewis. It was kind of like a Moonlighting esque show.
It's a TV show.
I'll look it up while we're doing this.
There was only some way to look up the information.
I don't know. No, these right? little portable devices. Okay, Google.
All right, so tell us more about how you shook Nick Castle.
Shook him?
Shook him?
I don't know.
All night long?
Like I just banged his head into the table?
Sure. I'm fine with this.
It didn't exist. Oh, tell him, did they already know what he said when you had the gun and he's like...
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I told John the whole story of... I handed it to him going, I'm going to find out what the how accurate this is.
Yeah.
What is this? Oh, fuck.
Oh, man.
Oh, it's the gun from Last Starfighter.
Well, at least it is?
Sure.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it looked like it, I think.
But you did say that, I mean, it was never intended to leave the holster.
Right.
So,
and maybe he never saw one. Maybe in all the costume fittings, they never pulled it out and said, hey, this is the weapon.
This is the gun. Yeah.
They just said, okay.
Anything but love.
I have never heard of that.
When did that come out?
1989 to 1992. It was actually...
Oh.
Yeah, they've worked in a newspaper. Hold on, I can like actually look at what it was.
I can actually read.
Okay.
No, maybe not.
Hold on. Marty and Hannah are two co-workers who are attracted to each other, but they don't want to spoil their friendship by starting a romantic relationship.
See, I think it was a better version in Murphy Brown.
Than you didn't watch.
Possibly.
I enjoyed
Murphy that's Brown. Why. John Ritter was in the show, too.
Murphy Brown?
No, but what's his name? Who was in that
show? That's not Marky Post.
No, it's Jamie Lee Curtis. No.
And you did not say Richard Lewis.
I said Richard Lewis.
Did you say Jerry Lewis?
I said Richard Lewis.
I think he said Richard.
Go to the playback.
Let's rewind this.
Go to the playback. One person that's not into sports at all, go to the playback.
The playback.
I have a tummy ache. But no, so Nick Castle was awesome.
Yes.
Good. In two different instances. So basically, like, you had him sign everything. You said, I made my movie. And he's like, okay, cool.
Well I think he wanted to see it then because he was like, where do I see it? And I said, well, I have it on my iPad. And he was like, really? And I said, and that's when I looked at the line and I said,
there was a line behind us.
I don't want to hold anybody up.
Right.
So if I come back later and you don't have a line, can I show it to you? And he was like, yeah.
And that's exactly what we did.
Yeah.
Because there's nobody at our table at that point.
Yeah.
We didn't scare off people like we did with Christina Lees. So Christina Lees had a photography book. And I'm like, we didn't see your photographs before. You've been to Tucumcari. Because, you know, when we traveled Route 66. I was like, yeah, we traveled twice over a year. We drove back and forth across country. She's like, I did it four times. I was like, okay, well, you win. Fine. Christina Lees.
But she had photographs from all over.
Yeah.
It was really neat.
Yeah.
She's a very interesting person. She's also got, I haven't checked it out yet, but I grabbed the card, but she's got a YouTube channel. She's vegan.
She's super vegan.
And she's got this, I guess, like, just a little channel for that. And then some type of book that she wrote.
Is she pushing her veganism?
No.
Well, her t-shirt that we took a picture with, it said, fuck your meat.
Yeah. So, like, she's like, nobody really notices it because of the way it's written, because of the font.
Right.
And I was like, oh, no, I noticed fuck the first time I saw you. Like, the rest of the part I could not tell. So I saw the fuck part.
See, at a convention, that's dangerous, though, because you get somebody walk up and be like, is that an offer? Like,
not at our convention. I don't know. It's very weird. It's very chill.
You think at a horror convention.
There's so many kids there, and I try not to curse in front of kids.
Right.
Too
but I'm
kids.
Like, I'm at a horror convention.
There wasn't.
And I was like, I should be able to curse.
Yeah.
There was a lot of kids for a horror
convention.
There
were so many this time
They get
around.
Into it early, though.
And I'm just like, you made that decision. I'm not responsible for it. I can't help it. Because, I mean, there's a person that makes, like, clay figures of iconic parts in horror movies. Mm-hmm. And they definitely have one of Felissa Rose at the end of Sleepaway Camp. So, and...
wear the penis, just like Kristen.
30 hours? 30 years?
30 hours?
30 hours.
It has been 30 years, yes.
Yeah, okay. So, sorry. But, yeah, I mean, and you have... I mean, it's just... it's your choice to bring a kid that to that type of...
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you know,
so
you're going to
she's wearing
event.
Something that says fuck on it about fuck your meat, then who cares?
I mean, look, I got an 8-year-old. My wife had said we should all go, and I was like, it's a horror convention.
Right.
Like, my kid won't go into a Halloween store without, like, flipping out.
Yeah.
Like, there are people dressed like Pinhead and...
Clown.
Like,
and there's
there
a lot of, like, at there late at night.
There.
There's, like,
because,
later.
Because he came up to me when I was walking around with the facehugger.
Yeah.
There's, like, taxidermy stuff going on there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's not the
there's
environment
like some,
that I would
there's
bring
some stuff that, like, you need to figure it out. Because, yeah, oh, great, they can sit here and watch Robert Englund at home. But
yeah,
the
but
same thing, like,
in
person,
different.
Like, you have all these people that are dressed differently. And a lot of stuff is, some for me, sometimes gets a little creepy.
I mean, I don't remember whose panel we were in, but there was a kid sitting in the front. And
that kid was amazing.
Somebody and whoever the celebrity was like, I'm going to say this, but don't you listen, and pointed. So, like, I think even they were a little shocked at how many
kids.
Were
kids there.
There were like 5 or 6 kids in every single panel,
and
easily.
And yeah. That one kid was like a walking Wikipedia. I think my favorite part, I can't remember who it was, but he was like, the movie in 1984. And I'm like, you weren't even thought of yet, child. Like, I was like,
he was intense. Yeah.
He was great with the questions. He was super adorable, but I'm like, it just made it seem like he saw
like
the movie.
The Rain Man of horror movies.
Right.
It's like he saw that movie in the theater is what the way his question was. And I was like, dude, like, I didn't even see the movie in that theater. I wasn't even born yet. Like,
I'm taking your shoes.
I mean, I think if you're
please
like
don't.
13 or whatever, like that's a fine age to come. But I'd say like 8, 6 is a little bit.
Yeah.
Young.
And I mean, yeah. If it was something specific, like, I mean, one year that we had Charles Fleischer, and I mean, if they wanted to be like, oh, I want Roger Rabbit to sign something, that's cool.
Right.
But he also has been in a bunch of other stuff. Same with John Cassier. I mean, he's done a lot of voiceover
right.
work, but he's also mm-hmm. the Crypt Keeper.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of films this year, Aliens, Child's Play, Nightmare on Elm Street, that a lot of kids would have interaction with
mm-hmm.
at that age immediately.
Actually, that one year, they brought one of the kids that was the voice of Elsa.
Anna and Elsa, the child voices.
Yeah. They had them. I think it was last year, and it was super weird. I don't even know where their booth was. I was concerned.
It was in the corner.
They're in the back, yeah.
Okay, I was concerned because I was like, they have, like, some gross stuff sometimes.
Or they pull a Peter Criss and put him outside.
Oh, gosh. That was so terrible. We never even got to see him.
Well, we walked right by him.
Oh, we did. He was eating.
I said really loudly, like, that's a really piss poor Peter Criss cosplay. And then realized it was him.
Oh,
I was
no.
like, whoops.
I almost wanted to go up to him because he had his makeup case. He was eating.
His
caboodle.
Right by the front door when we were
it
leaving.
It had his name on it. Yeah. And I wanted to walk up and be like, that's so cool that you got your makeup case signed by Peter Criss.
Shut up. Oh, my gosh.
But that's one of the things I don't understand about these cons is
and
all
these
the wrestlers.
Cons or cons in general?
Well, this one especially. But, like, all the wrestlers were in their, like, ring gear. Peter Criss was dressed
normal.
In his stage makeup.
No,
I'm like, what the hell?
And for the
that's
younger
not,
ones, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, because, I mean, we had Roddy Rod Piper.
For the older ones, you know, who are no longer wrestling, then it's one thing.
I guess. I mean, because I've been to cons recently where I guess it is the older wrestlers, but they're just hanging out. And those are the people, like, but, like, Kane's got his mask on, and I'm like, why would... Like, I want to meet you. I don't want to meet the character.
I think, like, normally, I don't think a lot of people disassociate the two. But, like, I think what you have is you have that generation gap where it's either people who are, like, fresh off the boat and, like, newly famous.
Right.
You know, and people want to interact with that, and they want to interact with people that they know. Versus the older people who are like, I'm just here to sign your things because you obviously are crazy.
And I think we talked about it there. I don't get the guy who's Leatherface dressed as Leatherface for the photo op.
Yeah. And I didn't know that, you know, what Robert Englund was going to do. But then when I saw the photo op things, I was like, that's pretty cool. Cause he had his normal face.
Right.
And then he had his Freddy costume.
Like the sweater.
Well, because Chicago,
he had a suit on.
He didn't use his mask is what I'm saying.
No, they
his
wouldn't because 2 years
exposed.
Ago he said that was the last time I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
But he was, I expected him to be in the Freddy sweater, and in my friend's photo, he's in his suit.
But he's got his claw is what he has.
Yeah. And then Jason.
And that I understand. Like,
yeah,
like,
that I would have actually done a photo op of, but I didn't want, like...
I like Robert Englund's face, so I'd rather have that. Like, if it was, like, the option, I'd rather have him not in the makeup.
Right, exactly. So,
from other stuff.
If I really like the Leatherface movie, I'm not going to have a picture with Leatherface because I want to meet the guy who was in the costume.
And
I can't prove that it's the guy.
If you don't have his actual face.
That's where I was a couple years back. They had the guy who was Frank... dress up as Frank from Donnie Darko.
Okay.
They had a photo op with him. Well, it was around Easter weekend, so I got a 50s type of dress, and I was like, oh, this is gonna be a great Easter bunny photo, you know. But then I was like, at the end of the day, I'm like, it is the guy, but
right,
how does anybody know that?
Be
it's
like, take
the guy.
Charge $60 Hold bucks to have arm. One guy dressed as Frank, the other guy next to him, and you know, you,
or like,
that would be an awesome prom photo.
Like, take, if it's him, take the mask off.
That's what I was saying. Yeah,
and have him holding it or something that you can tell it's the guy.
Yeah.
But I just don't understand paying all that money.
Because we're not crazy people. We enjoy films. We enjoy filmmaking. We enjoy making weird trailers that we can show nervously to filmmakers that we appreciate. Right. But at the end of the day, we're not crazy people. It's like, that's what was really funny is because Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4 is a serious horror film for me. So when I actually got to meet... what's her name?
Tuesday
night. No, she was cool too, though. But the other girl, the main character from
Amanda.
No, that's from part one. But anyway, whomever
Alice?
It was,
the one
Alice.
Played
yeah,
Alice?
I can't remember her name.
Lisa. Oh gosh,
Lisa Wilcox. Sorry, I'm again not feeling well right now. Lisa Wilcox. When I met her, like, I wasn't fanning out on her. I was just telling her that, like, not unlike you did with Nick Castle, for Nightmare on Elm Street just happened to be a really important horror film for me.
Right.
It's just one of those films that came at just the right time. It has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do and everything to do with that movie.
Right.
You know, but I wasn't fanning out on her. You know, I was just telling her how much I appreciate it. And then she kind of treated me like I was like, okay, cool. Like, you know, I'm like, no, I mean, she politely, you know, she's just like, you want to hold those things? And I'm like, yeah, I guess I do want to hold the nunchucks because there's nunchucks here.
She asked other people too, like whether you wanted her to have the bracelet on.
I was like, I do. I do want this, but at the same time, I don't want you to feel like you need to do this for me because I'm just satisfied meeting you to tell you that I appreciate your work.
Right, but I'm sure those meetings are rare and
Right,
and that's people have just this problem, you know, with people who are in the movie and people who are actors, and I get that, but I didn't necessarily need that.
Yeah.
Luckily, the guy next to her, whose name again I have no idea who anybody is, apparently
the one that you got an autograph.
Yeah, he looks just like my next door neighbor, and he was real nice.
He was super sweet. Yeah, he was a cool dude. Even like in the panel, he was really cool.
Yeah.
And then like, I'm sorry, I just had another train of thought. Mark Steger, the Demogorgon from, Stranger Things was there last year.
Right.
Next to Bill Bryan, who one of his credits is the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. So we're in line waiting
Bill
for him.
Bill Bryan. We're one of seven people in Bill Bryan's panel.
Oh, yeah. It was the saddest thing ever. It was the very first one on Friday.
It was 6 o'clock.
And everybody else was like just checking in and everything.
Checking out everything.
He was a delight. I love that man.
So we got to hang out with him all weekend because we were the only people on his panel.
Practical effects.
Yeah, and so then, while I was waiting to get his autograph, I noticed that Mark was right next to him, and I'm like, I know his work because it was showing all that, but he was advertised as the Demogorgon.
Right.
And so I was like, I just went up to him and I shook his hand. I was like, I like your work on the Tool videos. And he looked at me like, what? And I was like, yeah, no, you're awesome. Like, he does all the body work for Tool videos. So I'm just like, it's just something that's really cool when he's going to be known by most people because he's in Stranger Things.
Right.
But like, they kind of like it when you just talk about the.
Well, that's always the way
things.
In is like, if you can find something obscure that they're not there for.
Yeah.
Well, like Henry Winkler.
Did you say Kendrick Lamar?
Henry Winkler.
Oh, I was like, I was coughing. Sorry. Kendrick Lamar is like the guy who did the singer who did the Black Panther soundtrack. When did we meet Kendrick Lamar? I'm very confused.
On Tuesday, where were you?
Let's run the jewels.
Henry Winkler, I was super nervous about. Oh my God. I love him.
But you had this laser disc, and he was like, oh my God, I loved this movie.
Yeah, so Night Shift. Right. Those that haven't seen it, go watch it. It's fun.
I haven't seen it.
But,
I think
just,
I own a copy, though.
You haven't watched it?
No, I was going to watch it with you and Mom, and probably Kristen.
Yeah, because apparently your mom's like a super...
Wait, you're thrown in there.
And Kristen's penis.
So,
I don't have a penis.
It has a...
Show Chris.
It has Michael Keaton and Henry Winkler in it.
I'm very confused.
And so we were walking by...
I think he's
by.
Telling you to show it to me to prove it.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
I don't have
We were
penis.
Walking by one of the vendors, and Brandon saw what he thought was a soundtrack on vinyl... two night shift. And I was like, okay, cool. I'll get Henry Winkler to sign this because this is super random.
Right.
Turns out it was a Laserdisc, which made it even better because I don't even have a Laserdisc.
Henry Winkler was very excited that it was a Laserdisc.
He was so excited about it. He was like, what? I love this. And that's how he signed it. It just says, I love this. And then Henry Winkler. And he got really excited about it. And then we talked to him about Hollywood Game Night. He never was in behind his booth. He was always in the front talking to everybody. And he led his own panel. And he's just a great big ball of energy, and it's just amazing. And then I remember Little Nell was super excited about seeing him, Columbia from Rocky Horror. And the next thing we hear, we're like, I gotta go see Henry.
And then she left her booth,
told people to man her booth, went to go see him speak.
Christina Lise was a lot like that. She's like, I want to look around at shit.
I kind of feel like. To an extent, Lance Henderson was like that.
Lance Henderson?
He wasn't sitting behind. He was standing to the side of it, and he was signing stuff, and he was getting very involved.
I've got a picture of him over at the tables where we were, you know, just giving Robert Englund, like, a big high five or whatever.
Yep, yeah, and he went up, and he hugged a whole bunch of people from the Nightmare crew, too.
Yeah.
And then he was outside just smoking, taking a smoke break, talking to
people. Talking to other people that were smoking.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, you see...
It was a lot of kind people this year.
Well, and you see, like... Like, people are like, $60 for an autograph. Like, that's a lot of money to meet somebody. But when you have the interaction that you have with somebody like Lance Henriksen, it's all worth it.
Yeah.
Like, you don't ever, like, I didn't for once be like, oh, that's a lot of money for him to sign this thing.
Right.
I was like,
he's a delight.
Like he literally was like, hey, let's take a picture. And I was like, no.
And everybody, like, takes their time.
And I was like, holy crap.
Wait, that did you not get a picture with him?
No, he didn't.
No.
Why?
Well,
because we weren't there.
Yeah.
Wait, what happened? Who?
So. I went and got all the stuff signed while you guys were in the panel. I got the facehugger signed by all three of them. And I was standing there, and he's looking at the facehugger, and he's like, this is awesome. And I told him I had made it, and he was like, this is great. I don't know where I should sign it. And he's signing it, and he goes, oh, I don't want to break this because it's a one-of-a-kind thing. He goes, you got a camera? Let's take a picture. And I said, I'm not really a picture kind of guy. Like, there's very few people that I want my picture with. So I was
like, maybe he wanted a picture with you.
Well, no, because he wanted my camera. Like, he
was
like,
but
yeah,
when you posted,
well, the guy who played shit.
I think his name is Ted.
Ted. The guy who was
Michael Myers.
He was Jason Voorhees in the Friday the 13th Final Nightmare.
Okay,
he's 88 years of age at this point, and he's like, I really like your phone, and I was like. I'll take a picture of you. You'll take a picture of me. So we took a picture with each other's phones.
Okay.
So I have a picture of him. He also has a picture of me.
He was also a stunt double for
John Wayne. So that's the picture that I had signed of him. Is him with John Wayne.
Okay.
So
it was just one of those things where I was like, there's very few people that I'm ever going to be like, here's a picture of me and this person. I'd much rather have that interaction of meeting somebody.
You still had that interaction.
So when he said, do you have your camera? I said, no, I'm not really a picture guy. And he was like, well, then I need to shake your hand again. And I was like, that's cool.
That's sweet.
And then I shook his hand again, and he goes, he looked at the facehugger, and he goes, that's amazing. Like, that's going to be awesome on your shelf. And he shook my hand for like another time. And I just feel like if I had been like, yeah, let's take a picture, I wouldn't have gotten that.
You probably would have gotten that in a picture.
I don't know.
Because he's really nice.
But I don't want to impose on people like that.
Yeah, well,
like,
but
I don't know.
But he asked, so you're not imposing.
Yeah.
I guess.
That and like with this.
Let's drink all your water.
This, you can drink all the water you want. With this, I feel like they do invite guests that are their celebrities or whatever that do want to take time with their guests. Like, I've never had anybody that was like super rude. And I've heard at other cons where they're literally just like sign and go.
To those.
But. I have not had that experience with this con. I've always had somebody that, you know.
There have been colder people. Like Malcolm McDowell is a little bit colder than others.
But he was still there for
Michael
a smile
Bean.
And a picture. Ooh, and
Michael Bean was not cold. He was just
drunk.
Michael Bean was definitely not cold.
When I interacted with him, he was kind of excited because I chose Time After Time.
Okay.
And I think he got excited about that picture that I chose for him to do that. And he was pretty... There is one person, but that's just his personality, and I feel bad saying it, he's pretty standoffish, but he still does things for his fans. That's just his personality. He's Tom Savini.
Right.
I mean, we met him once, and it's great to meet him. And he's a really chill guy.
He's an icon.
I mean, but like, he's just... That's just how he is. He's not rude, but he's not going to go out of his way.
Right.
He actually talked to you about that bar called Residuals.
Yeah.
Which I was pretty cool, you know.
Basically, people, like, all these tiny residual checks that people have, like, from, like, 15 cents here from...
Right.
What if they've been, done a part in a commercial, and they basically, the entire bar is plastered with these residual checks.
Okay.
And if you bring your residual check in and you give it to them, then they'll give they'll you a shot.
There okay. On the wall, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just how he is. Like, he's not really, like... It's just, you get somebody like Henry Winkler that is, like, full of energy. And right. then you're just going to get Tom, who's just... That's just his personality.
So let me ask this question. What, out of all everybody's experiences, not that anybody had a bad experience, what was one that made you go, oh, okay, like a weird experience with anybody at this con?
It was Michael Biehn for me.
What was your...
For sure, because...
It wasn't like having him sign, because we were not there when you had it signed.
So I walked up, and there was one person in front of me, and I handed the dude my money, and I was standing there, and he just looked at me. And was just staring at me, and I was like, hey, how are you? Like, I tried to be like really like.
Did you try to go?
No. So I was like, I was like, hey, how are you? And he's like, good. And he does like this long awkward silence, and it threw me. I was like, okay, I don't know what to do now.
Do we have a cheese plate?
I was just like, would you sign my little guy? And he was like, yeah. And he took it from me, and he's looking at it, and he's turning it over, and he goes, I don't know where to sign it. And I said, well, look, I'd like the three of you to sign this, but if only you sign it, that's great. I came to you first. You're setting the tone for the entire thing, so do whatever you want. And he's looking at it, and he looks down at the end, and he's like, well, these look like balls. I'm not signing it there. And then he like took it and he's trying to like get in position, and I'm like, do you want me to help you hold it? And he was like, no. And then like he signs it, and he was like, here. And I was like, well, thanks very much, I really appreciate it. He's like, eh. And I was like, okay. I didn't even shake his hand or nothing, because it was so awkward. I was like, all right, wow. See you later.
And he was super inebriated.
Oh yeah,
because like, we had just seen his panel prior.
Where you know, the part in the panel where he was like, I'm glad Siskel and Ebert are dead. Like, fuck them. I was like, wow, okay.
He's like, let's not only say fuck them, let's piss on their graves.
Yeah.
Right. He was angry.
Yeah.
He's like, he was time like, went out. Oh, now it was Lance Henriksen. Lance Henriksen was a little bit more polite about hatred of Siskel
well,
and Ebert.
Yeah, well, Lance Henriksen was trying to corral the entire panel back away from Michael Biehn, because... Michael Biehn was just saying whatever the fuck he wanted.
He didn't need to be talking
at that point. And he was just like...
And taking long, long pauses.
Yeah. And that reminded me of the Friday the 13th with Corey Feldman. Because they had to reel him in. It was Ted White, who is the gentleman that Brandon was talking about, and Tom Savini, and I feel like there's one other person besides Corey that was there. I can't remember. But
who were on a panel?
Huh? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And they had you had him...
Fright
Night...
Final Friday.
Yeah, because he was the kid.
Oh, okay.
They had to kind of... That's kind of how the aliens felt for me. Like, that panel, they had to, like, kind of reel in Corey.
Right.
Because, like, Corey was kind of... I don't know what was going on with Corey. But then again, I think there was a lot of hostility between the cast during the filming, too. Because
right.
Corey was so... like, his status as being an age and
right.
stuff like that. And then you've got Ted White, who's an older gentleman, and you've got Tom, you know, and it was awkward.
Very odd, because you have three generations there. You have, you know, Ted, again, who's in his 80s, Savini, who's in his 60s, and then Feldman, who's in his 40s. So you literally have three generations there, all of which looked at this from a completely different angle.
Right.
For different reasons, even.
Right.
So, and that's kind of the problem with all of these panels, is if you put a panel together, I want to hear about what's your story, not just necessarily in conjunction with this movie, but then I have to realize that, okay, maybe this is the only reason we're here, is to talk about these movies.
Yeah, because get some people that have like separate questions about everything else, and I think that's exactly, it was smart of them to separate Robert from the rest of the cast.
Right.
And to do separate panels, because everybody would just have questions for Robert.
But, yeah. But I mean, I feel too that's, if you're going to ask a question, that's kind of like when you go up to meet them. Kind of. If you have a burning question, the panel's not really the right place.
They save half the panel for questions every single time.
Because not everybody is going to be able to wait that 5 or 6 hours to talk to them.
Mm. Yeah.
And plus, I mean, it depends on what, you know, who you have, too. Because, I mean, they had William Shatner one year. Right. And I mean, we're definitely not going to wait in line to go see William Shatner. That's just bonkers.
Well, that was our first year too, so yeah. we didn't know what we were doing at that point in time.
So it just really depends.
Right. I also had a weird interaction with Jeanette Goldstein, which you guys didn't get to witness either.
All of the cast of
Yeah, pretty much. I walked up to her and shook her hand, and then I wanted to hand her the face hugger to sign, and she held her hand out again like she wanted to shake my hand. So I was like, and she reached around my hand and started shaking all the fingers on the
she gave you a reach around
the face hugger.
She reached
around. And I was like,
okay.
And then she shook each one of your individual fingers.
Well, no. Yeah. So then she was like, okay, I'll sign this. I've signed these before. And I was like, okay.
Cool.
So it was just, yeah, every interaction I had was
a little memorable.
Yeah. Maybe it's just you.
I'm just kidding.
Well, I did get hit on. I don't know if I told you guys that story.
No, I got hit on too.
Were you hiding behind somewhere and like creepily looking at them?
No. No, I was waiting in line. So this is a two-part story. I was waiting in line to meet Lance Henriksen, and one of the guides from the show showed up and said, hey, I have RIP people, which is like the super package thing.
Yeah.
And so I guess they go to the front of the line.
They do.
And
for one person.
Well, there were three of them.
No, one per person. They have to choose
the person they want to go to the front of the line for.
So... it happened to be cutting in front of me, and I was like, hey, I'm cool. Like,
yeah. You paid $150, $200.
And the guy was like, look, you got something to have signed. We don't really know what we want. And it was this guy, like, redneck, wearing a Confederate flag hat.
And he wasn't a redneck.
Wait, was it like a cowboy Confederate flag, or was it like a hat with a Confederate flag?
It was a cowboy baseball cap. No, it was a baseball cap.
Okay. Just a good old boy.
With pins on it, then I couldn't see what the pins were.
Was he never doing no harm?
Yes. Sorry. And the Confederate flag, and they were looking at the table full of pictures of Lance Henriksen, and they picked the one where he was a biker and had an SS on his vest.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, we're getting him to sign that. And I was like, okay, this is a little weird, but it's North Carolina, so whatever. So the guy looked at me and he was like, we should go first. I said, no, you spent all that money. Yeah. Like, please go in front. As long as he doesn't go anywhere, I don't care.
Right.
Like, if they're like, oh, this is the last guy, he'll be back in an hour and a half, then I'm going to be a little pissed because I've been waiting in line for 20 minutes.
Right.
So, they're meeting with him, and there's three of them. So, like, Lance Henriksen is taking his time. He's meeting everyone. There was a little girl with them, so he's like talking to a little girl. And then I'm looking down at the pictures, and I feel like a pat on my shoulder. And I looked, and there's this girl.
I struggled with shoulder.
Yes,
for shoulder.
So there's this girl who was fairly attractive. And
fairly attractive.
Well, she's got a beer in her hand, and like you could smell it. She had been drinking.
Yeah.
And she goes, "Where did you get that face hugger?" And I said, "I made it." She goes, "You made that?" And she like put her arm around me, and I'm like,
"Yes."
Yeah, I did.
And you can't have this, Heffa.
so
she was like, "My own."
So she was like, "This is amazing." She goes, "Yes." So she goes, "I have a plush face hugger. Let me show you." And she pulls out her phone and she starts looking through pictures and she starts showing me pictures of her that have nothing to do with
the face hugger.
With the face hugger. And she was like, oh, here's me at the beach. And
this
here's
what
me
I look like in a bathing suit.
Here's me at this birthday party. And then she finally shows me and she's like, see, this is the face hugger. And I'm like, that's really cool. And I look at the guy who's taking the money and he's like trying not to stare. And so she was like, all right.
Stare because she's being weird or stare
because
she's
being
hot.
Well, she's being like real forward.
Okay.
And so I guess she took the hint that like nothing was going to happen. And then she was like, all right, well, you have a good rest of your con. And she like touches my arm and I'm like, okay, thanks. And I turned to the guy and he was like, she give you your room key? And I was like, no. He's like, you could probably go get it if you really want one. I'm like, no, that's okay.
I have to go by 4. Yeah.
I gotta go back to my wife. Yeah, it wouldn't really work out well.
And the fruit of my loins.
So yeah, like, and then walking around with a facehugger, I actually had people come out from behind their tables and look at it, and it was like, all right, this is the way to travel around a con, is with something that's just nobody's ever seen before, and they're like, oh man,
or a Barbie Carrie shirt.
Yeah, and actually my meat cleaver purse too still gets compliments.
There you go.
I have a clutch that looks like a giant meat cleaver with blood splatter, which is amazing when we're not in the con and we go to restaurants and people stare at me.
Or leather dresses.
And then I had a Barbie. It looked like Barbie, and she had blood on her. And it's a Carrie. That was a big hit. Thank you, Brandon, for finding that shirt.
Yeah, buddy.
I had a guy that was like really, really liked it. And he's like, I like it more if it was black. And I was like, no, you need Barbie pink. What are you talking about?
Well, they offered it.
I was like, it is offered. I did tell him. I was like, yeah, because that was my problem is I was trying to get on T-Villain. And like the option kept going with the black. And I'm like, why do I want black? I want Barbie pink. This is so stupid. And my phone kept freaking out. And I was like, but yeah, it was a big hit. That's the fun part is wearing like the t-shirts and finding other people's t-shirts. Like one dude had I wish I asked him where it was from because it was so awesome. It was it looked like a drive-in movie, but Harry Warden from My Bloody Valentine was bursting out of the screen, and I was like, that's super cool, and a handful of people are gonna understand that. And the other one that you found was the Reanimator one done as the Muppets. That was awesome. It was so cool.
What?
The guy that had the Reanimator shirt, and it was done with Bunsen Honeydew and Bunsen Beaker.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was super cool. And I was like, I had to stop him. I'm like, where'd you get it? And he told me, and then I forgot. But
promptly.
So tell me the story about the last day.
Oh, about the power being completely out?
Holy shit.
Well, it started so, as...
Because
well,
I only got bits and pieces in the video chat. So,
we've been going to this specific con for 5 years. So year one, year five... We are in the same venue.
Excuse me. Stayed off campus on the first one.
Mm-hmm. So it was so hot the first year. It made us go, we really enjoyed this, but do we want to go back to this?
Like, we're going to have to check the weather before we decide.
So then they moved it to the Uptown venue for 2 years.
And then Rock Hill for 1 year.
Yeah.
And then back to this one this year.
And we decided we were going to stay on site. Because
the con had already grown past... this by year one that we were there, which was year three or four for them. So I got up that morning after Brooke to hop in the shower. Or was I the last person up
you
there?
You were not awake.
Last person.
Okay, I was the first or second person
so
up.
Chrissy, no. Brooke, you, and I were ready, were, and she's not. Like, I'm just going to go grab a cart.
Because I figured cool. Everybody else is going to want to check out before noon, and the con doesn't start until noon, so I want to go ahead and go grab a cart just in case that's everybody else's idea.
And we're like, why would you grab a cart? Which kind of made sense and kind of didn't make sense.
It did make sense.
Anyways,
Brandon
was asleep.
Right.
So
yeah, he
was hugging Chucky.
What happened was I didn't realize it when I was in getting out of the shower that the lights kind of flickered a little bit. I didn't process it because I thought, well, maybe someone else next to me is using the lights. I don't know, whatever. So I go down there and I go and get on the elevator, and there's about like five people on the elevator. We stop down onto the second floor, and I see two of my other friends, and they're like, oh, we'll take the next one. So right after it stops, we were on the sixth floor, it stops on the fourth floor, nobody gets in, goes down, and then starts, I say malfunctioning, but it was like the easiest malfunction in the world. It wasn't like we dropped, it wasn't terrifying.
It wasn't terror.
It was
terror.
Just kind of like, and the maintenance guy was inside with us. He had just gone to the roof to reset it because there was a power issue.
Okay.
So he's inside with us. We actually make it to the lobby, which is not the first floor. It's the second, technically, because it's the basement. So kind of just chilling at lobby level. And the backup generator is still going, so we have lights inside the elevator. It's just that the generator can't power the elevator. So we're like, okay, cool. And so there was one guy that was just being that, cracking jokes type of guy, which he was totally fine, And he's like, I hope nobody's claustrophobic. And so the girl behind me just starts bursting into tears. And I'm like, I put my hand behind me. And I'm like, if you need to squeeze my hand, please do. And she's like, thank you, but that's not why. I'm just, I'm just upset about something else. So I was like, okay. So she's trying to calm herself down. And then the poor maintenance guy just says that he's kind of claustrophobic and kind of like, just like bends over a little bit, just trying to breathe, but he's okay. I mean, he's just having a bad day because he just went up to fix the issue and now he's stuck and he has the only key that can get us out. That
inside
needs to
the
be
elevator.
Used on the outside is inside the elevator.
Why is there only one key?
I don't know, but
they have another one now.
I was like, the other guy's like, so where are the other keys? And there was no question, there was no answer to that. Like, well, we're like, why don't you have more than one key? The other guy's like, I'll go make some. I'll carry one on me, so next year I'll be the one to help you out. Like, it was crazy. So then, about there for 30 minutes, they had to get the firefighters to get us out. And so then I was just like, I don't know where the stairs are. Like, I really don't know where the stairs to this place is. So I just go there and like, I need to get upstairs. And so I have to go up 6 flights of stairs, which the first floor were perfect. The last 2 killed me. So I kind of don't want to stay above the 4th floor, if that's great. But
I don't think you'd lose power in most scenarios.
So I get up there, and the poor maintenance guy is running behind me to go back up 11 flights of stairs to get back up on the roof to go fix the issue.
I think it was more than that. I think it was like 13 or 14.
Yeah.
Yeah, whichever it was. But yeah, he had to go back up there. And so, and then there was these poor girls that were had to continue doing the catering. Room service. So they're like going up 6 flights of stairs going to do room service. So it gets to the point where it gets to the point where the generator stops. So then there's nothing and Brandon is in the shower
Basically like the lights are on or the air conditioner's going. She's like, I'm bringing a porter or a bellboy or whatever the hell.
So I
basically say, don't bring the bellman. And which I call downstairs
because I'm naked.
Please, no. I'm like, don't bring this guy. We don't have everything packed.
Bring
what are
a
we
woman.
Gonna send down?
What happened was is when I went to go ask for where the stairs were, I was like, I came down here to get a cart, but I'm assuming everything's not working, so that's pointless. I just need to know where the stairs are. So she's like, oh, I'm so sorry, apologizing over herself, showing me where to go. And so I was like, we will need. She's like, do you need any help? I was like, we will, but I just don't know the time frame. So she stops this one gentleman who's helping another person, and she says, I will need you to go up to this. Tells me my room number. Doesn't tell me when he's coming, just in the general time of. So I didn't know when he was coming
he
up after
up
me.
Right the same
he
time.
He did, and I felt horrible.
And
I just felt horrible because I didn't know what the time frame was.
I had to be the guy to be like, we don't fucking need you right now, dude. We got nothing packed. You can. We'll call you back.
Go right back down those 6 flights of stairs.
Sorry, dude. I hope you can chill out here for a minute or two.
Or help somebody else.
But like, I'm actually in the shower. Like, I'm sitting in the shower, and like the lights, like, come brighten for a second, and then the shower gets harder, which means the power has come back on, and then they dim back after a few minutes of that, and then they cut off altogether.
So I'm like completely in the dark.
Which apparently so was Tuesday night's. Handler or boyfriend, husband, whomever he was, happened. The exact same thing happened to him, but he was actually in the middle of the shower. I was almost out.
So then we have to lug all of our stuff down the 6 flights of stairs in the dark.
Call the porter.
Stairway.
But there's only so many things that he can handle.
Right.
So he has a flashlight. Each landing has a glow stick.
One.
Yeah. Nothing backup. No like real legit lamps or lights. A glow stick
so
that they use from the raves.
There's no like like you always see like the red emergency lights.
Yeah,
right.
Those were gone.
None of those were on.
Jesus.
So zero power. We went from generator power to zero power. And I just had myself all loaded up. Brandon offered to take some things, but I just was like, no, I've got this. Let's go. I just want to get out of here. And let me tell you, that was scarier than being stuck in the elevator. Because at least I had, one, I had backup light. Two, I'm not going down 6 flights of stairs with luggage and bad knees.
So we got all the stairs, packed the car. And everybody else is, like, waiting by the escalator to, like, go downstairs. I'm like, why the hell would you wait through 40 people? Why don't you go over there and just wait right by the door to the stairs? Because
so you can go down.
So we just, like, waited by the door to the stairs. And when things looked like they were going to start up again, we walked downstairs and outside because it's cool. Then we walk inside to this whole place and just chill out in this perfectly nice section that nobody is going because everybody's a sheep.
So you know how Hensley was with us? My friend from college joined us to find the rest of his party. So we kind of just went, like, we went downstairs to the entrance, and we went to one of the side doors, and we kind of just waited because there was a line back up. And so kind of just once it started moving, we kind of just, you know, fell into place. He went to go find everybody else, and he was actually, like, he went to go find his crew and then try to get back in. And, like, he was approached by a staff member that said, "You need to go over here." And he's like, "Why? I need to go over here." Because there was no reason for that person to direct him way that was.
Well, because there was a line of everybody trying to get in the event. We're like, why is there a line?
Right.
There's no reason for this line at all.
And so that person actually got in his face, and Hensley almost punched him.
Well, those guys, especially on the last day, get really bratty. Like the guys, the staff.
The staff, yeah.
The volunteers. Because not the actual staff.
They're wanting to go home.
Yeah, they're volunteers.
I mean, the volunteer people. Not the staff at the actual event, like Joe Mo and everybody like them. They're always fantastic. So. Right.
And Levi,
yeah.
I mean, I've been my company puts on a conference every year down in Florida where that last day, everybody's just chomping at the bit to get on the bus to go home.
Yeah.
Yeah, so everybody gets a little bitchy. Well, but when something like that happens.
Especially with the power outage and everything else that had happened that day. I mean, everybody was super irritable.
And they were really understaffed. There were not that many volunteers. We normally see we see more. There were not as many as there usually are. And we had that issue with that one guy where we're trying to just get up to the escalator to our room. And he couldn't give us an answer.
Well,
he
wasn't
giving
us an
answer for that.
Yeah.
And we're just like, we just need to know if we can get this way. And he couldn't even answer that. I mean, he couldn't even, like, it's just like, it was just a little struggle with that point.
It was weird. But yeah, so I think the event probably opened up 30 or 45 minutes after that. Mm. And there was no real issue. There was no heat issue. There was no, you know, where it was overly hot. There was
it got hot Saturday night. It got real toasty Saturday night.
They had a lot more people.
So Friday night, basically everybody goes, we go to karaoke. Chrissy's not feeling it, so she heads up back up to the room because it's like 11:30 and we have not yet eaten that evening. She's like, I don't give a shit about food. I'm just going to go to bed. So it's the three of us, and then we sing karaoke and whatnot. The following night, I'm like, I polished off like half a bottle of rum, and I'm like, I'm good. I just kind of want to go and see what's what, if that makes any sense. And so, like, Brooke goes to bed, and Chrissy goes to bed, and Kristen goes to bed, and then Kristen wakes up, and everybody wakes up for a second. I'm like, I'm going to this nightmare rave. So the nightmare rave,
it was, and very, he uses the term lucidly.
Yeah, rave. So raves are where everybody goes. Now, it's a horror convention.
Right.
So horror conventions, much like, let's say, a Disney convention, is not like, you're not going dancing. You're not going, you know. So there were, like, when we got in there, maybe 15 or 20 people. And I'm feeling it because I'm like, I've been drinking. I'm good. I can dance around. I don't care. Dancing with myself, you know, but like everybody's like paired up. So it's not like everybody's on the dance floor, just kind of feeling each other out.
The pole's still in the middle, of course. We were under the tent.
Of course.
They took away the RIP rows. Basically.
So that's all it was. It was five rows of chairs was removed. All the rest of the rows are still there. Mind you.
Yeah. Behind.
So it's like me and Kristen and then David Hensley. He's like, I'm drunk too. And we're like, cool. We're like, cool. We'll just sit here, dance a little bit to ourselves and just kind of watch everybody else.
Like, I'm going to go live. Ready?
So I live fed it to Facebook. And and I'm like, this is amazing. You know, this guy's like got like great DJ music for like 3 years ago.
Lots of Skrillex.
Nice.
Yeah, there was Skrillex. There was a lot of Skrillex. But you know, it was fine. It was fun. And everybody he was trying his damnedest to keep everybody on that dance floor. But when you plan these things butted up back to back to back, people aren't going to go, oh, okay, cool. We're going to a costume contest. After that, we're going to a beauty contest.
Right.
And then you also have the karaoke again.
At the same time.
So everybody else is at karaoke.
Right.
Everybody else.
So everybody goes to karaoke. That's their thing. That's what Mad Monster has done at this point. So the first year they created a great event by showing the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Everybody came to that because it had the cast from Rocky Horror. Mm-hmm. This year was the rave, and it just was. It didn't hold up as well. So I'm curious to know if they can like get that one, find that one event, or find that thing that everybody's got to go to that event.
Because even they tried it the next year, and it was. The cast from Fright Night, and they're trying to make it. They had the troupe that did Rocky Horror.
They did a drunken
reading. And they were trying to do like trying to make it like a drinking game. And so they were reading it, and it just was not working because we couldn't hear them. It was in the bar, and
the bar only took cash.
And so then the actual actors who are witnessing this just get up there and start doing it themselves, which was still entertaining, but we still couldn't hear them because their mic, the sound system wasn't working properly.
Right.
And
it was
so,
just like a shit show. It's all these things like on Saturday nights are a shit show.
So, it all took place in a tiny, tiny bar, like about two times the size of this room.
Right, and I wasn't overly impressed with like the sound system in tent and like trying to hear, and it was like
it is tons better this year on the simple fact that you didn't have your tech guys talking during the panels.
Yeah.
That did
not happen.
They kept coming out and fucking with stuff, though.
Yeah.
Like, and I was like, what?
That sucks,
doing?
But that's not interrupting, if that makes any sense. That's slightly obnoxious. Yeah, well,
it's been
me too.
Worse.
But like,
that's okay. It's been worse.
Like, people on the panel actually told people to shut up.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Because they were talking at full volume to each other
like,
backstage.
Dude, you can't do that.
I think one year the dude was having lunch. It was kind of bonkers.
It was weird. But yeah, this year was much better overall, except for the venue. The venue sucked ass, and so if they move it next year, I think everybody will be
happy.
It
just bottlenecks the problem. I mean, there's no flow.
No, it was terrible. Like from a standpoint of having been to all kinds of places for these,
and they did handle the line for Robert because they actually had put him in a corner
outside.
And they had
and they had it in the back. Yeah,
they had it in the back to where it was like the service.
Yeah,
like,
they had the service
area that they put that line in. So that was kudos for that because I did not expect it to be like that. Because
that's where the Lance Hendrickson line went, was in the back and like paralleled that, and they kept coming through and being like, "Hey, you got to keep this open in case the fire marshal shows up." And it was like, okay, I'm going to stand here, but I don't know what you want. Like, I'm not going to tell other people because that's not my fucking job.
Right. Well, that's also the other thing. When you have somebody as big as Lance Hendrickson. Well, that's Lance Hendrickson is one of the largest people that they've had
at this con.
And then you have Robert Englund. Because Robert Englund is one of the few icons of his.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Brad Dourif is the only thing that I can think of that's.
Of that.
Well, to have, like Lance Hendrickson, Robert Englund, and Nick Castle, who was the first Michael Myers.
I don't think he's quite as popular as...
No, but I mean, it's a horror icon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you have somebody who was the first one.
I think Kane Hodder that one year was backing up pretty...
Yeah. Well, people... Yeah.
Malcolm McDowell, George Romero,
he's
they always
bigger
do.
Oh, yeah. Dude, people but. Wanted
to There's always those it. Tables that nobody goes to. And
right.
You're like, oh, man.
Right. Felicia Rose this year didn't have that many people. I felt like last year she had a lot more.
Well, she was also there. Anytime you repeat multiple years, you know, we got Felicia Rose's autograph last year.
Yeah, I got her last year. I still wanted to say hi to her, but yeah, I got her autograph last year. So, like, it kind of was, you know, and same with, like, Tom Savini's been there pretty much every single year we've been there. Yeah. And we got him the first year we went. And so it kind of just.
And there wasn't a whole lot of people at his table. Like, every time I walked by, he was just sitting there, like, staring at people.
And
he's
been
like,
at every
okay.
single one. Yeah.
I think they pay him money, a certain level of money.
Well,
to
I think
come.
They all get paid.
No, but I think, like,
enough
that's enough to get
him
in there,
to-
oh, yeah.
along with the autographs. I think he just wants to travel.
Yeah.
You know.
And when we were checking out that I was actually no, it was when I lost my phone. And then we came back. Yeah. He was sitting in the car. He was driving. He was waiting in the car behind us. That was kind of cool.
Yeah,
I
mean,
sweet car.
From what I understand, like, especially at the bigger cons, there are actors that will not take acting jobs because they're going to cons because they make more money in a weekend.
Yeah.
I don't think that's this con.
No.
Yeah.
No, but
them,
everybody
but...
gets an appearance fee. And they're probably making 90% off of their autographs.
Yeah.
You know, there's always, like, if you watch the people taking the money, they instantly write down, like, okay, he gave me $60 and he didn't take a photo. Like, so he'll start checking boxes of stuff so that they know, because they probably have to pay so much money. Like, they give Mad Monster so much money for
each
photo that gets taken.
Yeah, see, that's the thing that happened during Nightmare. Like, I took one with Lisa Wilcox. I took one with Lisa Wilcox's boyfriend. Mm-hmm. But Tuesday's like, do you want a picture? And I'm like, no. Not that I didn't want a picture. I was just like, 10 extra bucks. And I...
Right.
Yeah.
You
know? Like, I don't want to pay $10 extra.
It was important for
me
to get the other two.
Especially
whereas,
when, like, most of them include it.
Yes, that was a little bit frustrating.
That's been... a little bit different the past, each year gets a little bit different.
Right.
Like I noticed last year with Felissa Rose, she had her autograph price, which included a photo, but she also had just a photo price,
right.
Which was lower than that, which is, that's kind of cool for people that just want their picture taken. That was the first time I saw that, where they were like, just photo.
The only thing that is always weird about that for me is, like at MegaCon, you can't...
MegaCon!
Yes. You can't go up to somebody and just say hi. You can't go up to somebody and take your phone and take a picture. Like, they all want $20 to take a picture with you with your phone. And I'm like, what? Why? Like, it's not costing you anything except, like, 5 seconds of your time.
Well, we took, you saw how many pictures we took. We took, like, 5 to 10 pictures of each person.
Yeah.
On two or three different phones.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I sat down with Nick Castle, like, he was like, where do I look?
Yeah.
All right.
There's so many phones. What am I doing?
Well, it doesn't quit. It doesn't take any time. We probably take the same amount of time that it would take for his handler to take one picture with your phone.
Right.
So,
I mean, if you're going to take a picture with your phone, if I was them and I was signing stuff, I'd be like, just come take a picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand the 10 extra bucks to take a picture with me thing.
Yeah.
It's a little bit baffling for me.
Especially if you're spending $40.
Or $60. Yeah. Bucks. Like,
well, that's the whole thing. Yeah. Is most people are like $30 with just the photo, with just the signature, and then $10 extra for the photo. Mm-hmm. So Christine Elise, $30. Alex Vincent, $40. You know, with the photo. But you know, I didn't care because those are the people that I came there to see.
Right.
And you know, the thing about Alex Vincent is like he would lean down behind the doll, mm-hmm. and I'm like, dude, you're fucking dude. You can stand up, brother. I like you. I like you at your age currently because. We're the same age, Beth.
he was so
And then
so
he
nice.
Said, you look so much older.
I know. I know he did. And that, you know?
But he's so adorable.
He is.
I have a slight crush on him. But yeah, he was really sincere though too, because like we went to go, because we got Christine the first time and then we're going to get him, but then he was like, I'm so sorry, we have to do a photo op, and like it was just his sincerity. We're like, dude, no,
he's
you're
like,
fine,
we'll be back.
Right.
And then we're like, no,
like, yeah, we'll be
I mean,
back.
Yeah,
don't
we'll
worry.
Be back, of course we'll be back.
Right.
He was just so sincere. He's just a really nice, sweet person, and then his back in 4 minutes was amazing. I love that he has that.
Yeah, he left a note and said back in 4 minutes, and then he said we'll be gone for 20 minutes, because he's, I said, why 4 minutes? He said, because if I write 5 minutes or 10 minutes, people think that I'm just going to do something and that I'm just putting this for my edification rather than putting that actually coming back in about 4 or 5 minutes.
So yeah, they know that I'm not going to be there gone that long.
Yeah.
The photo that I got was actually like he staged it with like all these breakfast cereals and whatnot, and he was like, breakfast in bed, and I was like, he goes, is that okay? And I was like, yes, please. Yes, that is okay.
He took it.
Was that
house.
An offer?
Yeah.
He was in the good guy outfit. It was actually really kind of cute.
But like at his 30-year age.
Yeah.
So it's funny. You know, he's like, I love this picture because it's funny to me. And I was like, that's exactly. Like, just like the Nightmare Before Christmas.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Well, we did meet him too.
Yes, we
Nightmare,
did.
Nightmare on Elm Street for a guy. He also was like, this is my favorite picture to sign, because it's the one of me. Because
he personally took that picture on his camera.
Yeah. On his actual camera, not his digital camera.
Yeah.
30 years ago.
Yeah.
You mean with film?
With film and all.
Come on.
He actually said it was a disposable camera.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
One of the
like,
yellow
we were,
ones.
He's like, we were just hanging out, you know, between shootings, and he's like, I just wanted
shootings.
To just at his house.
Wow.
Yep. Pew, pew, pew.
So,
isn't it stabbings in those movies?
Depends.
Yeah.
We've got to be almost
later
the time.
With Brandon. Stabbing. Why are we stabbing Brandon?
So who?
Or you know.
Real quick, my question.
Hitting pop
well, that's
filters.
I don't know why you're just.
I'm struggling with it. Fingering it.
Yeah, fingering.
Struggling.
No,
I said fingering.
You said
because
finger?
He's disgusting.
No, it's the thing. Anyway, who would you want if you could ask for any icon at this point, horror specifically, because it's Mad Monster Party? Who would you want to come?
Horror.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. I fall more in the vein of science fiction.
Than science fiction horror. Like Beyond, what is it? From Beyond?
Living or Dead?
Preferably Living, because they probably won't be able to sign things.
Kind of make it happen.
But I know that, but like, he's asking for anybody. Like,
oh, while you're thinking about that, think about that. Mm-hmm. But Alex Vincent actually posted with his own personal Facebook page on the Mad Monster thing, And it took me 2 seconds. It took me a couple minutes to decide that I was not going to try to friend him.
Okay, it's not really horror.
Okay.
But I'd like to meet Ron Perlman.
Hellboy, come on.
Hellboy's not really horror, though.
It's horror-ish.
They could definitely. They would
Beauty
definitely
and the Beast, then, with Linda Hamilton.
Right, that's why I think they could swing it, because of his career. But he's one that I've seen him in multiple things, and I think he'd be very interesting to meet in person. Mm-hmm.
I have a tie. I'm sorry. Well, I say Matthew Lillard because they had him at Days of the Dead in Atlanta that we couldn't make, and I've had a crush on him forever.
Since SLC Punk?
Since he became Shaggy?
No.
Gosh, Goob.
I Scream is one horror movie that I actually, because my mom would not let me watch horror movies, and Scream is one of the movies that I got to watch on my own and fell in love with that movie, and then was a huge fan of his. So I'd love to see that, see him there. And then my other one would be Sissy Spacek, which is another horror movie that I was allowed to watch, was Carrie.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say The Straight Story.
Huh? But yeah, I love Sissy Spacek. Coal Miner's Daughter is one of my favorite movies. So yeah, Sissy Spacek would be a big one.
Okay.
I would like Gina Davis to come.
Oh, yeah.
Earth Girls Are Easy?
Yeah, that's why. They haven't even seen that movie. She owns a copy of that movie. Has not seen it.
Okay.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
What about you, Brandon?
I was just thinking about it. I don't know why I didn't think it answered my question before I actually asked it. Go ahead, Wyatt.
Also, just all of the cast of Beetlejuice. Let's just have them all.
Yeah, Michael Keaton would be pretty awesome.
Michael Keaton would be really
I know he's been the Mad Monster in the past, but I'd really like to meet Bruce Campbell, too.
Yeah,
we missed him. The first one. Yeah. That would be cool. One person we were talking to in line was talking about that, and she said that it was just only a hallway worth of people there. And she's like, Tony Todd was there.
Oh, that'd be cool too.
And Bruce Campbell and all like that. I was like, I actually literally ran into Tony Todd while we were walking.
I forget all those people that we have actually been there to see. Like, Sid Haig. Who else was it? The guy from Jigsaw.
Tobin Bell.
Tobin Bell was there two years ago.
Sid Haig was supposed to come, but he had. He
was filming Devil's Rejects too.
So, more power to him. But yeah, I know that would. Sid Haig is a really interesting person.
Gosh, he was serving drinks behind the bar last year.
I know who it is. Kurt Russell.
Okay. That would be an enormous line.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would.
So would Bruce Campbell at this point. I feel like it would be a 5-hour wait for Bruce Campbell, but that might be worth it.
And Michael Keaton would be a long one as well.
Oh, yeah. God. Michael Keaton would be insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I love him. I love him a lot.
Get him to sign my copy of Gung Ho.
I think at that point, Johnny Dangerously. You would just have to be like, I'm not doing anything at all.
My day is going to be standing in this
line.
Be done
and be like, panels, crap, you know? And that's the thing is, I love panels so much. I wouldn't want to miss a panel.
Well, that's why I'm there. It's even more important for me to go to the panels than it is mostly to have people sign things for the most part, because of the fact that I'm here to listen to what you have to say about this.
Right.
And it's almost a very personal interaction. Yeah. Like William Shatner's birthday cake.
We sang happy birthday to him. Tony Moran, who's the face of the Shape in the first Halloween, he passed us cookies. He gave us cookies.
Mm-hmm. He's a weird ass dude.
He is a weird dude. But PJ Souls was awesome.
But you never know what's going to happen.
No.
Well, and that's the difference between this kind of con and one of the bigger ones is people will wait for hours to get into the panels. Yeah. And if you get there when the con opens, you have no chance of seeing any of the panels.
And we rode the elevator with Nichelle Nichols.
And we rode the elevator with Nick Castle this year.
He tried to stab me.
Did he?
He did not.
Could have.
He tried to recruit you into some secret Star League?
Yeah, when I pushed buttons on the thing, he's like, you did that great.
He did.
Come do
get in the Star Car.
All we have left is Matthew Broderick from the television version of The Music Man, but we'll be fine.
Jesus. Wow.
Oh, war games. Sorry.
No, I think we're at time. Are we timed? Is there time?
Well, no, there's no time limit. You want to go?
The test is over.
The fight.
I mean, we can stop here. That's good.
No, I don't. It's your world, Chris.
No. You guys are nice enough to come hang out and chat, so.
Where do people email I just can't remember the email.
Right, well,
it's been bothering me for half an hour.
All right. He just wants to know the email so that he can actually
I just want to email you to find out when I can come on this show.
I guess we'll go.
No, I...
You're the worst.
All I know is that if you want to stick around to
another one, we can. Or you guys can go or do whatever.
The first part.
Number one dad.
Yes. And?
That's it.
Better believe it.
You want to fight?
It's on a balloon, no, so why? I believe it.
I'm not going to fight you. I'm not the number one dad.
For the number one dad balloon?
All right, fine.
He is the number one dad.
Then we'll pick this up in a few minutes. All right, so y'all are coming back, so whatever.
All right. Don't get too excited. Calm down.
All right, so if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email, info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
Kristen.
Brooke. Brandon.
Have a good week.